listening to Book Nerds. Hello and welcome to the next episode, which would be number 16 of the Book Nuts podcast, the podcast where we talk about, well, books. but more specifically, we are both audiobook fans. If you want to know why, we're not going to repeat it. Just go back to listen to episode number one. But by all means, you do not have to read the book. If you want to audiobook it or whatever you want to do, go ahead, follow along. If you want to join us, let us know. Say, hey, that sounds intriguing to me. Let us know. We'll let you know what books are coming up. And if you get them done when we record, jump in and join us here. When I keep talking about us, the other part of us is Mr., the one and only Jonathan Nadeau. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Very well, Tracy. We're on the Jewel Montana episode, number 16.
Number 16, the Jewel of Montana. Okay, you gotta kind of go into that a little bit here.
No, the Joe Montana episode, like Joe Montana from the San Francisco 49ers.
Joe Montana, it's just the Jewel of Montana. And I'm like, you know, that's a book. I'm a public school child. I don't think I read that book. So Joe Montana, I got that. As soon as you said no Joe, I was like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, everything's going well on my end. Kind of the normal everyday craziness when you got five kids, but yeah, everything's going well. I'll insert a public service announcement here. If anyone is interested in becoming a member of the Accessible Computing Foundation, which helps me work on Sonar GNU Linux, we are welcoming new members. You can join at $2 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. We welcome all memberships. It helps me developing Sonar and helping other stuff along with accessible technology. And within the past few months, I've had a couple of people, like, their memberships just end, you know, like, they don't, I've had people say, like, PayPal just automatically cancels their membership without them canceling, because I've emailed a couple of people, like, oh, hey, you know, thanks for being a member. Is there any reason why I canceled? And they're like, I didn't cancel. I thought you canceled my membership. And I was like, why would I cancel your membership? So, if anyone's looking to help out in that way, just go to accessiblecomputingfoundation.org, and your assistance is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, our church used to use PayPal, but we actually switched to, oh, I can't remember it. It's through your phone. It's an app on your phone, but you can also just text.
Square, maybe?
No, it's not Square. I'll get with you on that later. If anybody's really interested in that, email me. Good segue here. I get like one of these every 20 shows. Email me at tracy@podnuts.com, or if you want to get Jonathan, email me, and I'll get it over to him. But, I'll get with you, Jonathan, on that later.
Okay.
But yeah, if anybody else is interested, let me know. But it seems to be a little better service, and you can set up a reoccurring and everything like that.
Okay.
So speaking of books, okay, the book we are going to be doing today is Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler by Simon Dunstan. Before we get into the book, we are going to be doing it a little differently. What we're going to be doing today is we're actually not going to be talking about the book. We're actually just going to be sit here for an hour and give door to geek a bad time. So that's how we're going to
enjoy the next hour of silence.
Exactly. So we're going to just bother. Okay. Now that we got the door bothered out of the way. So I heard through a little thing about when I said no one bother door for the next 24 hours, I heard somebody actually contacted him, Jonathan.
Ooh, what? No, if anything, he contacted me first.
Okay, you should have just ignored him, just saying. But that's okay. I kind of forgot about it too. I would have too. So, but hey, we're going to be doing this a little differently for the next few episodes, just to see how it is. We used to give spoilers or non-spoilers and then a spoiler. We're not going to do that anymore. A couple of people said they just want us to go right through it. They listen to it anyway. So we're going to do that. If you totally, totally hate that, get with us and maybe we'll switch back. But we don't know. We're just going to try something different here. So, like we said, this book is Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler by Simon Dunstan. He is a British, best way to describe it is a British author, but he normally does really deep, serious stuff, a lot of war stuff. He does a lot of, you know, like after earthquakes, pretty deep stuff. And he said he actually wanted a light, airy book because he's never did a conspiracy book. He wanted a break. So he decided that when he was doing another piece down in Argentina, he heard about, you know, about how people were saying Adolf Hitler was there after World War II. So he says, that would be nice, light, airy conspiracy theory, write it, kind of relax in a little bit. Well, 3 or 4 years later, he finished the book. So it's not light and airy. And every turn he took, he was like, this is probably actually right. So, yeah, that's basically it. This in the top big down, this won't be a spoiler, then you can turn it off if you want this. What it's about is the proof he received about Hitler actually making it to Argentina and what lack of proof there was actually of Hitler killing himself in Berlin, which we all, history books all say. So before we begin, before you read this book, did you know anything about Jonathan, about possibly Adolf Hitler going to Argentina?
I would have to say no. I just, you know, assumed, okay, he killed himself. I mean, the guy's like surrounded by, you know, everyone. So I assumed he just kind of went down with the ship, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, I always heard about, yeah, you know, this here, he was down there. I heard when I was stationed in Germany, I was a huge history nut. So there was a lot of World War II stuff, and I went traveled here and there. And I really thought I had a girlfriend over in Germany. She was German. And when I'd go over her house, her dad was there, and we would talk back and forth a little bit. He was actually part of the Hitler Youth. And he was actually in Berlin when the walls were starting to fall. He was older. He was older. Well, he even said, because that's when the World Football League was going over there, so he was getting into football, so I'll explain that, and I was asking him about the history and everything like that. And he told me straight up, he said, you know, Hitler did not die after World War II. He went down to Argentina. And I was like, yeah, yeah, crazy old man, you know, just,
right.
Yeah, okay, just ignored him. Didn't think much of it until I really started reading this book. And before we get in the book about proof that he's there, one of the things that they always say convince people Hitler died is totally fake, about he shot himself and then they burned him, and the Russians actually have part of his skull with a bullet hole in it they recovered. Well, that skull is actually of a female under 40, so it couldn't even have been Eva Braun.
Man, yeah, they were saying, you know, part of the book was talking about, you know, Hitler had this doppelganger that looked so much like him. They were saying in the book that, like, I don't know if this is the proper percentage, but something like half the pictures you see of Hitler today are more likely to be his doppelganger guy than actually him.
Yeah, because it's already been proven, and no matter who you talk to, that he had at least 3 lookalikes, a minimum of 3. Part of his insiders actually said he had about a dozen. But I think he had a lot of them, but I really think there was 3 real close, and then one of them that was, you know, towards the end here was him right at the end.
Yeah.
So now before anybody says, oh, this and that, I am not a big conspiracy theory fan. I try to hunt them out and debunk them, actually. One cool thing is conspiracy theory about the JFK assassination. When I first moved to Dallas, I got out of the Army. Everybody knows I was military police. Got down here, and I started working for Brinks Armored Car because I could get a job there real easy, good money, and everything like that. So I started doing that. Well, we had these BEP runs for the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Runs where basically we'd go to the print, you know, where the Federal Reserve, where they printed the money, the BEP.
Yeah.
And they had big bricks of cash. It was, these bricks are, boy, I can't remember, 10,000 bills in each brick. And then whatever, I think it was, and whatever, I could be wrong, whatever denomination, you could calculate that out. Well, we'd load 10 to 30 bricks into the truck. We'd go down to the airport, back up to a plane. And we just wait until a plane was totally loaded and unloaded. The last thing to go on would be we'd load these bricks of money. They'd lock and seal the plane. The plane would take off and land, and they wouldn't open it until somebody was there at the other end to pick it up. But the reason I say that was one of the guys that I used to work with doing that, if you remember the Lee Harvey Oswald, when he was assassinated, the police officer that was handcuffed to him with the white cowboy hat was actually, I worked with him a few times.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I talked to him this and that, and long story short, Lee Harvey Oswald did what he thinks did the shooting, but he had help. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but that's not what we're talking about here. But the reason I say this, I really go out of my way to try to debunk a lot of this stuff, you know, and reading this puts a huge doubt on, if I had to pick a way, I really think he, before we go into the details, he did get to Argentina. How about you?
I'm signing up for that magazine. Like, after hearing, he had quite a bit of data to back up his claims he was making, and I was like, yeah, I'm buying this. I think he did make it to Argentina, and I'm pretty sure it went down the way he was kind of, explaining it throughout the book. I was pretty convinced.
Yeah, because one thing about conspiracy theories, when you read it, they always leave stuff out to make their side look a lot better.
Right.
And every time you turn around, it would be like, okay, he's doing this to prove that Hitler didn't make it. Well, went down that avenue, boom, that just proved more. He kept doing that over and over and over. And a lot of the eyewitnesses that he interviewed and talked to and got statements from, these people have they gain absolutely no gain for what they're saying. The only thing they can gain is possible death.
Right.
So they have absolutely, these are like maids and old maids, you know, and everything like that. These people have absolutely nothing to gain except death. So, yeah. And then, because the only real thing they have to say about Hitler's death in Germany is a radio broadcast that said Hitler, you know, died in the front lines fighting, is what the radio said over the radio. And then later it was saying, no, he killed himself. Okay. Well, that and the bone they found were the only proof they had that Hitler killed himself. That's really not proof.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the even how, you know, they quote unquote found his body and Eva Braun's body, they were just like stunt doubles, basically, that, you know, they kind of put in their place.
Yeah, so basically, I don't want to go into details on this, but this is one of the books where you could really listen to it 5 or 6 times and get more stuff every time. It is so full of data. It's not like, okay, I got these 3 things here and I'm just going to write a whole big book on it. No, this is very long. I stumbled across this one night when I was going down one of those YouTube rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And I was watching a short little World War II tidbits after another, and I went on where this guy actually interviewed Simon Dunstan, and he was talking and he said, I got a book coming out next month, and this was a few years ago that this interview was taking place. I was like, ooh, it's already released then. So I went out and I got it. So that's how I kind of stumbled across this. And he actually has so much information. There's actually a part 2 to this book that I haven't read or I've even got
yet. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, he has so much data. It's kind of, you know, there'd probably have to, you know, not that there'd have to be something wrong with you if you don't believe it, but he's got so much data backing it up. It's hard not to believe it, you know, and I never knew this. Apparently before Hitler went to Argentina, that they had a pretty big like German community within Argentina. And another interesting fact throughout the book was Mercedes built the first factory they had outside of Germany was in Argentina. And I was like, that's interesting. And, you know, so just little facts like that, it's like, wow, you know, so many things just kind of lined up, you know?
Yeah, in case everybody's wondering why it's called Grey Wolf, Grey Wolf was always a name for Hitler.
Yeah, that was like his code name or whatever.
Yeah, that was, you didn't call Hitler Grey Wolf to his face, but that's what everybody kind of called him, was Grey Wolf kind of and stuff like that. I don't think he really minded it too much, but that's kind of what everybody called them. But another thing they had was almost all the gold. I forgot what it was, a really high percentage, and I can't remember the percentage, that Hitler plundered was never seen again, never recovered. So most of the money they plundered actually is gone. So, and most of it, the thinking was funneled here and there to different leaders and everything like that. His pilot that supposedly flew him out of Berlin testified and said, nah, I flew him out of Berlin. Well, and then he was picked up and evidently beaten. Then he says, nope, I lied. I was here.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so, and then after he was like released, he said, nope, I flew him out. Then he turned up dead.
Yeah.
So that was one of the kind of things like that. So, but this book is just packed full of stuff over and over and over of why. Different eyewitness testimonies, different places, but not just like, you know, Maria, the, you know, cleaning lady saw him, you know, when he was staying at different hotels. No, this is one after another, after another, after another. Cooks have come out and said, yeah, I worked for him for 6 months, you know, a whole bunch of people. And if I remember, they say he actually died in 53.
I think it was in the 60s, actually.
Was it? Okay.
Might have been the early 60s.
Okay, 62 or 63 then. I remember it was a 2 or a 3 after May 50. So. But he did die then, they're saying.
Yeah, and even back to kind of what you're saying about the gold, they had a staggering amount of money. It was insane, like the money they had, you know, back in the 40s. They had in the upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars that they were... Hitler had this, I can't remember his name now, but it was kind of like right-hand financial advisor kind of person who was moving all the money around. And he was dealing with hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, even close to $1 billion at one point, like at the height of all their money. Like, reading this book, I didn't realize like how much he actually plundered Europe. Like, he basically stole every piece of art within Europe, and like he was filling up caves and caves and caves of like artwork and sculptures and all kinds of stuff. He was like hoarding everything. He was having like, you know, tons and tons of trains all across Europe, you know, picking up all these artifacts and like gathering them and bringing them all into Germany. And then he was basically liquidating a lot of that stuff and turning it into gold.
Yeah. I don't think it was in this book, but it was another documentary I was reading, how Hitler got most of his money personally was actually royalties. Anytime there was a swastika or his image appeared on anything, he got a royalty.
He briefly covered that in Grey Wolf, the book.
Okay, yeah. And then all that kind of was sucked in too, so that was an easy way for them to suck all this money in and divert it to, you know, wherever they wanted to. And then also about the Odessa, you know, it's basically an organization of former SS, you know, officers.
Yeah.
Odessa Files. There's a book and a movie. But basically it was towards the end about when they knew it was going to go downhill, they're going to take this and divert money here and there so they can rise again later, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was the point of them going to Argentina, kind of into that German, you know, pocket within Argentina. Hitler was going to rise again there and, you know, kind of pick up where he left off. But things just never even though it sort of seemed to work out for him, kind of, I guess, everything kind of seemed to fall apart around him. Like, you know, of course, people started stealing the money from one another and getting in fights and killing off other people. So, like, things just never kind of regrouped, even though Hitler escaped. And another thing that was crazy, too, is he took a submarine from Spain down the coast of South America, around the other way to Argentina, and then landed on a beach, like, you know, this one clandestine night, landed on a beach and went to Argentina.
Yeah, and another thing I read somewhere was a lot of the Italian people that escaped from Mussolini, right when Italy was found, actually went to part of Brazil, in the southern part of Brazil, where the Gauchos were. Basically, it's an Italian area. So Another note, there's some Italian fascist and really close members that disappeared too when Mussolini really thought up to the end that he had more supporters than he did. And they just all turned on him basically, and they ended up, you know, killed him and hung him and yada, yada, yada. But a lot of the people that they know were going to get it too took off and went down to they're called the Gauchos area of Brazil.
Yeah, back to kind of like even eyewitnesses, like, you know, it wasn't just kind of like a maid here or a servant there. It was like even high profile people would see him like from a distance and be like, that looks like Hitler. Like they wouldn't walk up to him, but like lots and lots of people saw him and would be like, that can't be him. But it really looks like him. You know, they were, and Ava Brown was with him too. So they were like, well, that's got to be him because that looks a lot like Ava Brown. But, you know, they wouldn't actually go up to him and confirm it, but there's tons of people, but like you said, that saw him, especially in Argentina.
Yeah, then also the FBI had a file, and basically there's an FBI file saying, yes, Hitler is in Argentina.
Yeah, but yeah, they blew it off. They're like, there's no way. There's no way he's there. And they just, you know, took it as someone trying to lead them astray or, you know, divert them from something else, possibly.
Yeah, I think the only really person that took it seriously was the biggest nutbag in Washington at that point, Hoover, the head of the FBI.
He was
taken seriously, but everybody else wasn't. Everybody kind of knew he was kind of out there, so they were like, just let him have that little thing. We won't do anything about it. But so that's basically the book. Any real thing you want to add to it?
I guess the one last thing is, like, you know, I guess they wouldn't want to admit he was still alive. I mean, that's a total slap in the face if he was, you know?
Yeah, that would be a total insult. So some people are saying that's why they even dropped it, even though some of them knew he was there, just to make sure there wasn't that slap in the face like you were saying.
Yeah, and I guess eventually when he died, I think he had Parkinson's when he died. So I guess he jittered a lot and stuff, and he was just failing, you know, quickly. So I think at the end of the book they said he believed that he died of Parkinson's.
Yep. Score, I give this one an 8. The only reason it was a really good book, I'd listen to it, I recommend it. It's just not a true story, you know, so it was entertaining, but it wasn't like had me grasped and like have to finish this tonight like I'd normally do with other books.
Yeah, I would say an 8. Only reason why I would give it an 8 is maybe because I think you definitely have to read this more than once. I've only read it once, and I'm sure I missed an insane amount of stuff. So I definitely need to listen to it a few more times. But I would say that would be the only reason why I give it an 8, because it's just, I don't want to penalize it for having too much information, but there's just so much to take in. You know, and even 10% of what he wrote about this is true. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's kind of like one we reviewed a couple weeks ago, The Count of Monte Cristo. There is so much in there, you have to listen to it again to catch it. And this is even tenfold to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, well, that was Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler by Simon Dunstan. Let us know if you guys like this new format, or if you guys, you know, you guys are stupid, go back to the other way. Just let us know at tracy@podnuts.com. If you want to complain to me, just email directly to
Door.
You know, that's fine. You can complain to me. I really don't care, you know. So, but that's basically it on this book. Any last word before we close out?
No, if you have any suggestions for books, definitely let us know also.
Cool. And again, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. If you want to help support Podnuts out a little bit, do appreciate that. So helps Dora out with all his bills he does and everything like that. So thanks for everybody for listening. Again, join us next week. And next week, speaking of that, we are going to be talking about Odd Thomas by Dean Koontz. This is one of the books, little tiny thing that I said, Jonathan, you have to read it. And he's like, yeah, okay. And it was another one where he's like, okay, put the other 5 in there. Hurry up.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a good book, and we'll get into more detail about it the other time. So again, everybody, we appreciate you guys downloading, listening, and taking your time out of your busy schedules for us today. Everybody have a great day. Good week. Thank you.
See ya.